WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. That is Chicago's Hubbard Street Dance Company rehearsing Sweet Gwen Sweet. The work by legendary Broadway choreographer Bob Fosse and his wife Gwen Verdon will be staged at the Steppenwolf starting Friday. Fosse grew up in Chicago and died in 1987. He was an influence on everyone from Michael Jackson to Madonna to Beyoncé, who drew steps from his repertoire for her Single Ladies Put a Ring on It video. Dance companies must get permission to perform Fosse's work, and Hubbard Street is the only company in the world currently allowed to add Fosse to their repertory. To talk to us about what this means, who Bob Fosse was, and what we can expect from Hubbard Street, we were joined by Cassie Walker-Burke, WBEZ Senior Editor for Arts and Culture. And I began with asking the basics on Bob Fosse. Who was he? What is he known for? Here's Cassie.
Most people think about Bob Fosse as the choreographer behind the musical Chicago, which, you know, yes. We see all the time here in terms of like on bus stops and that kind of thing. And that is true. He also was the choreographer for several big Broadway productions, everything from Sweet Charity to Pippin. And so he was also a Hollywood director and choreographer. So the movie All That Jazz is actually an autobiographical look at Fosse.
Really?
It is. But, you know, his work is really known for Broadway and for Hollywood and was not until now really embraced by the traditional concert dance community.
Oh my goodness. He moonwalked before Michael Jackson did?
He moonwalked before Michael Jackson. He popped those hips before Paula Abdul. And he did the series of the steps and the strut, I guess you would describe it.
Single ladies.
Right, correct.
They're in that line formation and then, you know, they turn around sort of to their side profiles and they're sort of the way that they're strutting together in unison.
Yes.
That's very Bob Fosse.
If you look it up online, it's actually a dance called Mexican Breakfast. And that was a dance. And it's hard to say exactly how much of that is Bob Fosse and how much of that is his third wife and muse, Gwen Verdon. Mm. And so you can see it. They made that dance for actually TV in the 1960s.
Very cool. So he's a Chicago native. But why else is this show so significant right now, Cassie?
Well, I think this show is significant because Fosse has really been thought of in this echelon of Broadway. And I think that really embracing his contributions to choreography, and not just his contributions, but behind every man, there's a woman. And Gwen Verdon, this dance is really the first dance that recognizes her contributions to his body of work. Gwen Verdon was an actress. She was incredibly expressive. She had a movement language all of her own. And their daughter, who has really worked to preserve their legacy, really sees this as a mutual contribution to the dance canon by both of her parents. And I think in some ways that's a long overdue recognition for her mother.
Mm. Tell us more about Gwen, his wife. I mean, what do you know about his relationship with her and just their collaborative and romantic partnership?
They had this incredible artistic collaboration. And I think that ultimately, even after the marriage ended, she was still very present as somebody who was a steward of his work, who helped set his works. Even there's this great story about even in the 1990s, after Fosse died in 1987 of a heart attack, Gwen Verdon was still, she came here actually to Chicago. Hubbard Street has another Fosse work in their canon, Percussion 4. Mm-hmm. And she came here to help set Percussion 4 actually in the 1990s. So she was still considered really someone who was a translator, a conduit of his work, even after their divorce and after his death.
Yeah. Well, you spoke with Nicole Fosse, who's Bob and Gwen's daughter, of course. I want to play a little bit of her talking about her parents' relationship.
my mother and father, their love language was to dance together. That's where they found humor and camaraderie and symbiosis. It was their language. It was the language of the household growing up that I remember as a kid. That was what we did together. Some families play golf or wiffle ball. We danced.
So Sweet Gwen Sweet, I mean, it's known as the only performance that they co-created. So tell us more. What is it about?
So Sweet Gwen Sweet, a little bit of a tongue twister, yes, is actually a series of three works. And the three pieces were works that Fosse created on Verdon for 1960s TV shows. So it was Ed Sullivan and Bob Hope. And keep in mind, this is way before TikTok, no Instagram. We're not doing any social media at that time. TV was how dancers got to American households, because most American households didn't have access to Broadway. They weren't in New York. And so that was how dance, and especially commercial dance, Broadway dance, reached kind of the average person. And so these TV spots, he would create them, and it was almost like part of a variety show. And so what happened is, for Sweet Gwen Sweet, it's actually three different dances that this awesome choreographer, Linda Haberman, who studied under, was a dancer under Fosse before his death, helped put together and helped string together. Oh. And so it's actually three diasporic pieces, but that she put together with some connective tissue. There's a story. She's changed one of them from a trio to a solo, but really the dances speak to each other. They're from the same time period.
Oh, very cool. And I want to underline this again, something I mentioned earlier on. Hubbard Street is the only dance company in the world authorized to add Fosse to their repertory.
Right, this work in particular. And so I think it's really interesting that, you know, Nicole Fosse is really working. She started the Fosse Verdon Legacy, which is essentially her group based out of New York that's really trying to bring more recognition, preserve her parents' work. She started that about a decade ago. And I think that over time, she's just been trying to both train dancers in the style of Fosse. So there's a training program in New York, but also to help help dance companies acquire these works, but she has to be careful, right? Mm-hmm. You know, she's trying to be very careful and thoughtful about it. And because Hubbard Street actually had a relationship that goes all the way back to the 60s with Fosse, it made sense, and kind of through a pipeline of dancers, that's how this connection was made.
Okay, and so that's how we figure out sort of who decides who's allowed to, you know, perform his work.
Correct. So in the 1960s, actually in 1961, Lou Conti, who is the founder of Hubbard Street and is now passed, he was a struggling dancer trying to get a job on Broadway. And his first Broadway role was in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, choreographed by Bob Fosse. And so that relationship, he kept a relationship with Bob Fosse and with Gwen Verdon. And so actually over time, dancers who worked with Hubbard Street knew that and helped connect the current an artistic director of Hubbard Street with Nicole Fosse.
I see. While we're talking about Hubbard Street Dance Company, tell us more.
Well, the show this weekend and next weekend is the first show of Hubbard Street's actually at Steppenwolf Theater, which I find to be just incredibly interesting in this moment too, because Fosse's work again was really at home mostly in theaters. And so Steppenwolf is going to be presenting this work. It is sold out, but the good news is that Hubbard Street, when they have standby tickets, they do release them about an hour ahead of time before the show for $30. And
well,
so you can actually see it pretty, you can see it when they have standby tickets. And so I think that that's something to consider, but it's the next two weekends.
So take us there for the folks who do have tickets, the lucky ones. What do you think the audience can expect to feel as they take in this performance? And what do you think, you know, was the co-creator's intentions here?
I think, you know, at the end of the day, Fosse was an entertainer, and he grew up in 1940s in Chicago in vaudeville. He was a part of a teenage duo called the Riff Brothers, and they performed as part of a vaudeville variety act. But very quickly, even as young boys, they ended up in they hung out with strippers and burlesque artists, and they were part of burlesque shows. And so there's a lot of overt sexuality in Fosse's work. There's a lot of percussive movement. There's a lot of like pelvic thrusts and hip tilts. It's also fun. There's a lot of hat tips and humor. Gwen Verdon was such an actress. And so I think that These dances have a lot of personality. They're fun to watch. They almost make you feel like you could get up and do it, except when you really think about all the different things that are happening at once, it's like patting your head and rubbing your stomach. It would be nearly impossible.
Right. And I think I'm actually trying to picture that. But I think it's also important to your point. I mean, that people do need to understand, whether you were familiar or unfamiliar prior to this show, Fosse and Verdon's influence on their overall influence on culture and dance, right, as a whole.
It's incredible to think about it. There's even, it's really interesting because Fosse became a director. And so the way he even filmed dance actually in the movies changed. That's laying the ground for what MTV videos became, how dance is presented. And so really the point of their influence on culture is so much broader than I think they've really been fully credited for. And so to see that here in Chicago on stage at Steppenwolf and presented by Hubbard Street, I think is this really neat kind of cultural full circle moment. And I should also say there is another Chicagoan on the program, Lara Lubavitch, who's a Senn High School grad. Also, they're doing a piece by Lara Lubavitch this weekend, and the choreographer, Azure Barton.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Keeping it homegrown, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's very cool.
Yeah. We've been talking with Cassie Walker-Burke, who's WBEZ's senior editor for arts and culture. Thank you so much for sharing your Bob Fosse wisdom with us
today. Thanks for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Ari Mejia. It was edited by Dan Tucker. Every day, Reset brings you conversations to help you better understand what's happening in our city and beyond. If you're interested in hearing more, you can check out our entire catalog of interviews at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again later today.
Love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.